Hey, if you're pregnant over 40, I have just the community for you. It's a private community away from Facebook where women just like you come together to meet and support one another during pregnancy. To sign up for the waitlist, go to over40fabulousandpregnant.com/waitlist and be the first to know when the membership is open. I can't wait to see you inside. Welcome to Over 40, Fabulous, and Pregnant. I am your host, Jamie Massey, and you're listening to episode 19. I want to celebrate and support every woman's pregnancy journey over 40 by sharing stories. While we do discuss medical treatments and medicine, we are not doctors. These are women's experiences that came before you, not medical advice. Today, we have a very special episode. We have Caroline, Donna, and Annabelle on to share their pregnancy story over 40. You see, typically, I don't interview stories where the women are past about three-ish years, and that's mostly because it's not fresh on our minds. And I knew Annabelle was pregnant 23 years ago when she was 45. And then Michael told me about his wife, Caroline, and their youngest is 5 years. And then I met Donna, and Donna was pregnant 15 years ago. And I thought, what if I got these three women together to discuss their pregnancies and see where that conversation leads? It's so good. We cover so much together. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did recording it. But man, this was a rough one to edit. So please let me know that you enjoyed it. I really want to make sure that I'm giving you good episodes. For show updates, I'm going to be brief. As you can hear, I am struggling to get through this because I think I have a sinus infection. I cannot kick it. So I will spare you all the sounds as quickly as I can. So we don't have any Instagram shout outs today because all of our Instagram questions are at the end of the show. Thank you so much for everyone that submitted questions. So enjoy this special episode. And with that, let's get into Caroline, Donna's, and Annabelle's pregnancy journey over 40. Ladies, welcome to the show. Let's introduce yourself. Caroline, would you like to start?
Sure. I'm Caroline, and I work in higher education. I'm originally from Fort Worth, basically born and raised here. My husband and I moved away for a short time and then moved back. I had one kiddo when I was 29. And then I had another at 40 and another at 41. So we have three.
I love that. I love that. Two kids in your 40s.
Yes.
Okay, Donna, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Donna, and I live here in New York in the Big Apple. I had my one and only daughter at age 42. So she was quite a journey, which I'm happy to share with you later to encourage those ladies that are, you know, thinking about having a child, you know, and having a hard time. I want to really encourage them. I'm a registered nurse, been a registered nurse for like 33 years now. And on the side, I am a coach for moms. So
that's awesome. Annabelle, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Annabelle. We live in Western Washington up on the coast. I had my first child in 1979. It was a boy, and then my second child in the year 2000, also a son. My work now is being a writer and journalist.
Thank you. Let's start with pregnancies. I think as we kind of structured this show, as we talked before we hit record, that we're going to kind of go around and talk about pregnancy, talk about birth, kind of individually as each woman's story. But I want us to be just
girls sitting around a table and talking about our stories. I think we have up Donna. Will you start off how you learned you were pregnant?
How I learned that I was pregnant, it was funny because I had so much trouble conceiving because I had cysts and I developed fibroids. And so over the period of between the time I was about, actually, I'm going to say like 38 and a half, I had actually stopped taking birth control pills. And then we started really thinking about having this child. So from like 38 and a half on to the time I got pregnant, I think I had about 10 negative pregnancy tests. Mm. So it was getting to the point where it was just kind of like depressing. Like I didn't want to even take them anymore. So it was my husband actually that summer. It was summer of 2007. He looked at me, he said, wait a minute, isn't your cycle late? Like you should have already had it. And I was like, I don't know, because I'm very irregular. So I just stopped thinking about it, you know? Uh-huh. So he's like, well, don't you have an extra test in the house? Why don't you go do one? I'm like, for what? It's just going to come back negative. Because I really had just gotten really discouraged and really despondent. So he's like, well, just try. So I go upstairs and I take this test. And as soon as I dropped the thing in the applicator, it went poop. And I just stood there in shock. I couldn't talk. So he's like sitting downstairs in the dining room and he's going, did you do it yet? And I couldn't talk.
You were shocked.
So I had it in my hand. I was in total shock. I was beyond shock. I was like, it's got to be a joke. This got to be an expired, that like something's wrong with this thing. So I come downstairs and he's looking at me and I still couldn't talk to him. I took it and I just put it towards him and I was like, it's positive. And he's like, it's positive? Are you pregnant? And I was like, I said, well, let's look at it again.
It might change.
It was like a comedy show. Let's look at it again. And he goes, I think you're pregnant. You should make an appointment with the doctor and you should make sure, you know? So that's what I did. And like I kept it. I still have it. I still have the pregnancy test from 2008. I really do. It's in an envelope. And I put it in an envelope and I took it to my GYN and I said, so this happened 2 weeks ago. And I just want to make sure it's real. He just thought I was hilarious. So he starts doing the sonogram. He goes, yeah, it's really real. And he showed me her first picture. It was a sonogram of her at 9 weeks old. Aww. I still have that too in a frame.
That's cute. So
I was in a state of shock. I mean, you know, I guess it's like when you want something for so long and you just think, well, forget it. I'm never going to get it.
Yeah.
You know, even as a kid, when you're asking for this special gift and you don't get it, you're like, oh, well, forget it. Mm-hmm. So I guess I kind of gave up. So when it came back positive, I was in shock before I could even be happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how she got here.
That's great. I love that story. Okay, Annabelle, tell us your story.
Well, I had the same shocking moment with the pregnancy test, but I was 45 and I had a few changes in my menstrual cycle, nothing dramatic. And my doctor couldn't really verify that I actually was in menopause, but I noticed I wasn't ovulating every month, and that would be something I could tell before. So in my mind, I didn't need birth control, and I could just go on with my business. My husband was 14 years younger than me, so I still don't know whether that had any reason or influence on my getting pregnant. But I did the same thing. I thought I had cancer or I was pregnant. It had to be one or the other because it was such a different feeling. So my pregnancy test, just the same. Couldn't believe it. And my husband did not want to have any children, but he was just giddy when we did the pregnancy test.
Caroline, how did you find out?
Well, a lot like Donna, while we did already have one child and we wanted another one, I had sort of just resigned myself to that it just wasn't going to happen. So I stopped even thinking about it, stopped even thinking it could be a possibility. I just completely put it out of my mind. And I just went in for my yearly checkup with my OB. And she said, so you know you're pregnant, right? And I said, I'm sorry, what? Sorry. Well, huh? And I was, maybe we should run that test again. And so we did. And I was pregnant. And she said, well, do you want to save this? I was like, save it? I want to wear it. Are you kidding? Like, I walked out of there and I'm checking out. I'm like, I'm pregnant. Oh, my God. I was telling everybody, I'm pregnant. I don't even know. What? Oh, my gosh. But so, yeah, it was definitely a surprise. Not something I just, like a lot like Donna, just I just put it out of my head and I wasn't really thinking about it anymore. So,
yeah. How far along were you?
I believe I was 6 or 7 weeks pregnant at that point.
So your appointment just happened to be at the right time.
Just happened to be. I mean, I'm sure I would have figured it out eventually on my own, but since I wasn't really paying attention to it, I wasn't tracking anything anymore. I wasn't, I didn't notice. Mm-hmm. And so that was with our daughter. And then after we had her, 3 months later, I got pregnant again. And that one shocked me. Like, I had to take a walk around the block and I was just like, oh my gosh, what is happening? Like, how do you become this fertile at 40? I don't understand. So they were both surprises.
That's awesome.
Lovely surprises, though.
Yeah. Okay. So, Annabelle, now's your cue to talk about your pregnancy. How would you describe your pregnancy overall, Annabelle?
Well, overall, it was really normal. And the things I noticed were I had only gained 18 pounds with my first son, but I gained 50 with this one. But it was totally normal. I felt funny. The reason I even tried the test was I did feel funny in my abdomen. So back then they did amniocentesis for the older mothers. I think now there's a blood test that takes care of everything and you don't have to have that anymore. But that was sort of exciting. And that's when we found out it was a boy.
Mm-hmm. So you did find out the sex of the baby during your pregnancy?
Yes, ma'am. I couldn't believe after 20 years, why didn't I get a girl after 20 years?
How did you prepare for your birth during your pregnancy?
Well, since my husband had no children, we went ahead and went to they used to be like Lamaze classes, but this was sort of an introduction to childbirth class. And, you know, he was kind of white as a sheet for a lot of it because it was totally new to him. So we did go to those classes. And then since I'd had a baby before and my best friend was an RN, I found out just about everything I needed to know. And things had changed in the hospital.
How was it different from during your pregnancy 20 years later? How was it different?
The weight gain was the biggest part. And I told my daughter, I think towards the end, I started feeling so bad. And that could have been the blood pressure thing. Mm-hmm. But I walked into my regular appointment and told the doctor, he said, are you feeling hormonal? He said, well, we're going to have that baby today. And went ahead and stripped my membranes and rolled me over to the hospital for induction.
Now, when you were pregnant, was there any products or anything that helped you during pregnancy?
No. Prenatal vitamins were still recommended, so I took those. But I just didn't have any real issues till the end. And then I had to have sort of an elaborate delivery.
Did you have any cravings?
Oh, shoot, yes. I have cravings anyway. I love snacks. The big thing was I had to quit smoking. So instantly, when I saw the pregnancy test, I quit smoking and I began eating pears, just green pears. And I had to drive to Dallas for my job. So I had 5 or 6 pears in the car at any time.
Yeah.
Well, to keep from smoking, because I didn't smoke, so I had to do something. My doctor did say, are you just eating a lot or what is going on with your weight? So that's the thing that sticks in my mind.
Mm. Next, Caroline, how was your pregnancy?
So with my daughter, it was good. I felt like it took forever for me to get that little bump, you know. I wanted to show that I was pregnant so badly, but it felt like it took forever. I did have a placental tear at 19 weeks with her, so I was basically, I was bedridden for a couple of weeks, like strictly bedridden. And then after they learned it wasn't tearing anymore, I was allowed to basically go to work and shower, and that was it. I had to sit on the couch or lay in bed. Otherwise, wasn't supposed to bend over, reach up, lift anything heavier than a can of soup. Like, it was,
wow.
It was a lot to try to remember not to do. But that put me in immediately a high risk category. So then I started having two, OB appointments. I had a high risk specialist and then my regular OB. So that was with my daughter. And then my son, I was high risk again because of my age and because it was so quickly after I had had my daughter. And then also he had a two vessel cord. He was missing the artery part of the cord. And so they have to watch and make sure that it didn't, his growth was normal, mm-hmm. Which apparently is a side effect of being over 40. So, or a possible side effect.
And did you find the sex out of the babies during pregnancy?
We did. When I had to see the specialist, you can't, I mean, their equipment is incredibly clear. Even if we didn't want to know, you were going to know.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And so, yes, we did.
And was there anything that helped you with pregnancy?
As far as products during pregnancy, mm-hmm. there are the one, actually there's two things, but one you can substitute. You have to have a body pillow, but you can substitute regular pillows. You don't have to go out and buy the body pillow, but it is very nice and you really want it as you start to get bigger. But the thing that I would never live without again is compression socks. And I know that sounds really silly, but my feet got absolutely huge with my first son.
Mm.
And I couldn't even get shoes on.
Oh, no.
Towards the end, the last probably 3 to 4 weeks of my first one. So then the second two, I wore compression socks all the time. Mm-hmm. And I never had any problems. And my legs never felt that tired, achy, you know. And I had a job where I was on my feet all the time. So, but yeah, so that's the one thing that I think everybody needs.
No, you know, you aren't the
first pregnant lady needs.
You aren't the first one to say that, to recommend that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. We've had a few more recommend that too.
It's not a sexy product, but no.
That's a really good point, though, because you do swell. I think I swelled, my ankle swelled more than the first time.
Yeah, my feet, I just remember at the end of my first pregnancy, I couldn't get my shoes on. And I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. How am I supposed to walk around like a cavewoman for the last month of this? So I was determined to not have giant cankles for when I got pregnant again. So I went and I found some really cute compression socks, I think from Sockwell. They make really cute ones.
Good to know.
And I just bought like 5 or 6 of them. So I always had one to wear every day. Mm-hmm.
Did you take any classes or any preparation?
We did. We took one that was recommended. I didn't get much out of it though. It was just, you know, the sort of like Annabelle was saying, it was like a Lamaze class. It was a birthing class. Information is so ubiquitous now. It's just everywhere. And, mm-hmm. and when you're pregnant, you're kind of consumed with being pregnant, all things being pregnant. You know, how's the baby growing? What's happening next? What about delivery? What about setting up the nursery? And so I just really think that a lot of information is readily available today, whereas it wasn't as much even when I had our first one. So yes, I took a class. We did it together. I think both of us were like, well, that was not a useful.
So for your third pregnancy, you didn't take any classes?
No, yeah. No.
That makes sense. And is there anything that helped you otherwise with pregnancy?
I mean, just supportive family, you know, a husband who's willing to rub your lower back when you're getting stiffer and you can't move anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, supportive family.
Mm-hmm. I've got a quick question about how old was your oldest child? I don't remember if it was a boy or a girl when you had bed rest, and how did you handle having another child and bed rest?
Yeah, that was really hard actually. He was 11 and it meant that my husband had to do all of the school runs, all of the grocery shopping, mm-hmm. all of the laundry, mm-hmm. all of the cleaning of the house, everything. And so we actually did get someone to clean our house during that time. And if you can afford to do that all the time, I highly recommend it.
What a nice treat, though.
We were like, this has to happen because my husband's going to lose his mind. And I'm going to be sitting on the couch cranky and grumpy because my house is a mess, you know? So, yeah, that was something that we had to do for the last half of the pregnancy.
Good question, Annabelle.
Thank you.
That's a good question. I only had cravings with my daughter. Of the three pregnancies, she was the only one that I had cravings with, and I craved spicy food. And before I found out I was pregnant, it's funny, the day before I was eating cold chicken with so much Cholula on it that it was dripping down my arm, and I was hanging over the sink eating it. I was like, my husband's like, do you want to get a plate? I was like, no, it's so good. And I was eating jalapenos out of the jar. I could not get enough spicy food. And it was just during the first trimester, though. After that, it went away.
How funny. I wonder what that means.
I have no idea, but I never had cravings with either of my other two pregnancies, the boys. But my daughter, yeah, she's a little spitfire. That might have something to do with it.
Well, did y'all have nausea? Did you have nausea with subsequent pregnancies or the first one? Or I forgot to say that. I did not have any, but I did with my first son.
I only had nausea with my daughter also. Could have been all the spicy food. I don't know. But she was the only one that I had to make sure to always have some ginger ale or some ginger like candy or ginger honey for my tea, like something to try to calm that queasy feeling constantly. And again, that was also only the first trimester. After that, it was all fine.
Donna, how about you? How was your pregnancy?
So it started out a little, it was odd. And I say odd because in my first trimester, I was sleepy all the time. Mm. And I didn't understand what it was. I also have underactive thyroid. Mm. But I take medication for it. So usually I'm okay. But it was funny because in those early stages, before I actually knew I was pregnant, I would go to work and I just put my head down the desk. And one of our social workers would say, are you okay? And I go, yeah, I just feel a little sleepy. So the whole department was already saying, I think Donna's pregnant.
Oh, they noticed the sign.
I had no, and I'm just thinking, I should call my doctor. Maybe I need more Synthroid. I mean, it was hilarious. I just had no idea what is wrong with me. So then I finally figured that out. So that was really the only thing I had during the first trimester. And he said it was more exaggerated because I had underactive thyroid. So the fatigue was kind of setting in. So I made it through that. But then in the second semester, that's when they do the special Down syndrome test. Whenever you're over 35. So I took the test, it was a blood test. And I remember I was sitting at work one morning and I was on the phone with staff, and this lab technician calls me and she's all hyper and chipper. And she's telling me she called to give me results. And I said, oh, okay. So I get a pen to write everything down. And she starts telling me, you know, what the tests were. I can't remember all of the names of them. There was a series of blood tests that I took, and she's giving me all the normal levels. So I wrote everything down. And then she said, and here are your results. And she started giving me numbers that were literally about 20 to 50 times the normal of every of the normal numbers. So now I'm like, what do you mean 20,000? And she goes, and your lab results show that your baby has a high probability of Down syndrome, and you might want to schedule an amniocentesis so that you can find out whether or not the baby has Down syndrome. Would you like to schedule it? And I'm sitting there at the desk, like, I'm shaking. And we had like half height cubicles so you could see everyone's face in the office. So you're talking about eight other people sitting around me, and I'm sitting here going, so wait, what did you say? Schedule amniocentesis. Why would I want to do that? Isn't that a high risk procedure? I'm already high risk, you know? And she goes, well, you know, you might want to see if you want to have an abortion. So let me know if you would like to schedule. And she's just talking. I said, you know what? Let's table this discussion. I'm going to call my OBGYN. So now I'm sitting at the desk and I'm crying. So I hung up the phone. I called my pastor because my pastor at that time, she also had a baby that was born with some challenges. So I thought maybe she could kind of guide me. And it turned out that she had her son so long ago. He's in his 30s now. She didn't know that he was going to have challenges until he was born. So I was kind of looking for her guidance to tell me, what should I do? Should I do this amniocentesis? What, you know? She just said, listen, just, you know, you just have to kind of maintain your faith and just, you know, believe your baby's going to be okay. I went home, I talked to my husband, and he said, well, you know, if it's going to put you at more risk, I don't think we should do it. I said, I don't want to do it either. I was scared. So then the GYN called me and he was pressuring me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a good experience with my doctor at all. Like, I wanted to throw him over the bridge somewhere, but he almost yelled at me because he got very upset. And he said, and he gave me all the reasons why I should have it, et cetera. And I said, okay, let me ask you a question. If I do this amniocentesis and it shows that she really does have increased fluid behind her neck, because that's how they make that determination that you would be Down syndrome. I said, is there a way for you to go in and drain out the fluid? Is there a way for you to make it better? And he goes, no, we really can't do that. I said, so then what would be the point? He said, so that you could prepare. I said, sir, I have dreamed since I was a little girl, being a mother, I prayed my whole life. And you're telling me you want to stick a needle in my abdomen to see if she's going to be a certain way? I said, no, sir, I'm not doing it. He was like, what? You're not scheduling it? I said, no. And the other reason it was so upsetting for me, he never once called my baby, my baby. He always referred to her as the pregnancy.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
When I tell you I wanted to throw him over a bridge, I really wanted to throw him over a bridge. But I didn't know who else to go to at the time. Because what a lot of us did that worked in the hospital that I worked in for many years, we all went to doctors within the hospital because we worked with them. We knew they were good. And he was great. I mean, he was really good with the patients that he delivered their babies. So I thought, oh, I'll just stay with him one day if I have a baby. But when he said that, he lost me. It was hard because after that, it became like a mental battle to just stay positive and not to think, you know, what's going on inside of me. He almost left me hopeless because when you say severe, then you're talking about not being able to communicate and things like that. So I was so saddened. So I had to kind of push through that. And I didn't share this with anybody. The only ones who knew was my husband, my pastor, and my dad. And I made my dad promise not to tell my mom because she was always a worrier. So I knew that she was so excited because I was the first one to be pregnant in, let me see, my brother's daughter, I think at that time was like 18. So this is the first baby in 18 years. So everybody was so excited. And if she had known that, it would have crushed her. And she would be calling me every day. Are you okay? I said, Daddy, you got to.
What week did this happen? How far along were you when this happened?
This was 5 months. I went for my 5 months.
Okay. So 20 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had to do 20 weeks of this.
Yeah.
Mental battle.
Yep. Just, you know, kept trying to smile and act like everything was really great and everything. And by the way, at the end, I ended up having to have a C-section because I went in for my 34-week checkup. And I noticed that they kept moving the electrodes around, but nobody was talking to me. And then they brought in another doctor that I'd never seen before. I'm like, who's he? And they said, oh, he's an antepartum. I said, antepartum? I've never met him before. So then he goes outside and he's having this conference with my doctor. And then the nurse comes back in and she puts an IV. And I said, what's that for? She said, oh, they didn't tell you? They want to put you in labor and deliver. I said, for what? She said, because they might want to induce you because your baby's not breathing in between contractions. So what contractions? She's just kicking me. That's a contraction?
Wow.
I didn't know.
Wow.
She's not breathing and you're not gaining enough weight because I only gained 14 pounds up until my 34th week.
Wow.
So they said because she wasn't gaining weight, it's safer to bring her out and then, you know, just tube feed her or whatever. So, yeah, it was odd, interesting, and then scary. That's how I would describe my pregnancy.
My goodness.
And then when she did come, and they did all the tests of, you know, the placenta and the cord and all that stuff, they go, oh, yeah, that test, it was a false negative.
A lot of them are.
So you wanted me to possibly abort my baby for a false negative.
Ugh.
She's now 14 and she's fine.
Wow.
I'm glad you fought for her.
Yeah. You have to fight for your kids, even from the womb.
It's the truth.
That's important. Moms, we got to fight for them. That's what we're here for. We're advocates for our babies.
Yeah. I love that. So, Caroline, let's get into your birth. You were on bed rest for your second one. Mm-hmm. But your middle one, no, your third one, you weren't on bed rest.
I was not. No, I was on bed rest for my daughter, and my water broke in the middle of the night. And so we just went to the hospital, and she came about 6 hours later. It was pretty not dramatic. I mean, it just took her a while, but when she got here, so it was pretty basic. My third one, though, because of the cord, and I was having some blood pressure problems. And so they induced me at 38 weeks with him. And so he was the only induction. My water broke with my first one too. And then, so he came in like 2 hours. So,
wow.
He was pretty fast.
But 2 hours is really fast.
Yeah. He came quickly. In fact, my OB came to check on me, and then she was like, okay, well, I'm going to go to clinic. I'll see you later this afternoon. And I was like, okay. And then my husband asked me a question, and I like barked at him, just barked. And I was like, you could get the nurse, like something's not right. And he went and got the nurse, and the nurse came back. She's like, okay. And then like a whole team of people came in, and my OB came running up the hall. She's like, you had me running from the parking lot. So yeah, he came really fast.
Did you have time for an epidural or anything?
Yeah. Cause when they induce, they started that before.
Okay.
But I have a really bad fear of the epidurals because I have scoliosis in my lower back. And so I really did not want to be the dead legged, you know. So I agreed to an epidural since they were going to induce. And it just is a lot more dramatic when they do that. And so I just said, but I just want enough to where it takes the edge off. I want to be able to move my own legs. Mm-hmm. And so he gave me just enough. So I guess that's how I knew something was going on. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, they had time to do all of that. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a birth plan in place?
No, I'm one of those that's just like, let's just see what's going to happen. Because my only plan is I want as little drugs as possible. And I really want to avoid a C-section if possible. Mm-hmm. Those were really my only plans. I kind of feel like every birth, no matter how I didn't want to make all these plans and then have it go so sideways that I mentally just couldn't go with the flow. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a very detailed person, and I can overthink things. And then when things start to not go the way they're supposed to go, messes with my head. So I was like, just for my own mental health, I'm going to let the professionals run the show and they can tell me what to do.
That's okay. Hey, that's a plan to me. And what about cord cutting? Did Michael get to cut the cord?
Yep, he cut all three of the cords. And because the third one had two veins and no artery, they sent that one for some testing. Mm-hmm. But other than that, that was it.
Oh, I also forgot to mention, the doctors, did they have any concerns about your age?
You mean the OB?
Yeah, just generally. Yeah, during your pregnancy.
No, I mean, they would remark on things. Well, you know, because of your age, we're just going to look out for A, B, and C. You know, it wasn't, I didn't have a bad experience with my age being a factor. The specialist that I had to go see with my last two, I had a hard time with him just mentally because he looked like he was 12 years old. And so I was like, oh my gosh, how is this 12-year-old going to do anything for me? Like, I just, so for me, it just was, okay, he's been to school. He's done all the training. He's done what he's supposed to do. Like, just because you're old. So.
I know that feeling.
But no, nobody really said anything other than just, you know, keeping an eye on things maybe that you probably wouldn't if I was 25. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wish I had your type of doctor, Caroline. When I went to my doctor, I think I was about 39 or close to it. And I told him I wanted to get pregnant. He looked at me, he said, you know, you're almost 40, right?
My
so that should have been a clue.
Yeah, to be
that I really should have.
It probably should have
my doctor.
But you know what? Yeah. When because I was making more of a thing about my age than my doctor was, and my doctor said, you know, that the literature that puts pregnant women in the Jerry category at 36, it's so old. The literature is so old. She's like, we are healthier now than we've ever been. She said, so there are women having babies in their 40s that are just, they're healthier now than they were when they were 20, you know, and maybe living a little bit wilder lives. So
I never called him geriatric, but he was very negative about me even trying to become pregnant.
Curious.
He was supportive when I got there, but before he really, I think he was trying to discourage me. Like he looked at me one time like I was really crazy.
He sounds like I think doctors need to understand that they're counselors. They're not, you don't tell me what to do with my health. You counsel me as to what my options are.
I love that. Yeah.
And there are some doctors that think that they get to mandate our health choices.
Newsflash.
They need to be retrained.
That's right.
Yeah, news.
Yeah, someone said in another podcast that how they recommend to hire doctors. And I really loved that term about hiring a doctor.
Yeah. You can choose to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you don't, and it doesn't, it may be a different OB than you started with, but you can choose.
That's right.
That's what I would tell anybody. If a friend asked me today, like, what should I do? I would tell them, if you don't feel like you're comfortable or on the same page with your doctor, that's a sign. Like, you know, make the choice, you know, because we're consumers of our healthcare.
That would be good advice. You're right.
Yeah. My doctor, one of her last births was, she gave birth at 40 something or other. So I feel like I kind of have someone on my side.
That's great.
So Donna, go ahead. Tell us about your birth.
So when Shekinah was due to be born, originally they did admit me.
Wow.
And the plan was to induce me. So what they were doing is giving me steroids because they said they needed to build up her lung strength to make sure she could make it through the birth canal.
Yes.
But then by the time they gave me the second dose, they had had some conversations and they decided, you know what, maybe we're going to discharge you instead. Just go home and just rest for a week. And they decided that it would be safer for her to be born via C-section. And I never had that discussion. So there was never talk about, you know, birth options. I knew I was going to have an issue with pain. So I did ask my GYN very early on. He laughed at me. I said, so are you open to epidurals? Because, you know, some men have issues with that. And he said, why are you thinking about that now? Because I didn't even have a baby bump and I was asking questions. And I said, because I have a very low pain tolerance. And I don't want to be like, the, you know, the Godzilla mother, you know, screaming and yelling. So he goes, yeah, I mean, if you want that, that's fine. I can do that. So I ended up, you know, ending up having to have that anyway because of the C-section, because they thought that she was too small. She was only in vitro. They said she was, I think, something like 3 pounds. And they didn't think she'd be strong enough to push through when they induced me. So they said, no, we'd rather just take her out. So she was born 5 weeks. What was it? 5 weeks and like 4 days early.
And how much did she weigh?
3 pounds and 1/4 ounce, 15 and a quarter inches long.
Oh.
And she spent the first 21 days of her little life in the neonatal ICU. And then she was also born with jaundice. So she had the little bilirubin mask on. So that part was hard because we couldn't see her cute little face, you know, because she was in the incubator and she had the mask on. So, and then I was also trying to nurse. So that was, oh boy.
Wow.
So, you know, I had to get discharged and she had to stay. So we had to go back and forth from Brooklyn to Manhattan in New York every day to go see her and try to nurse her. So the first 3 weeks were rough. I couldn't wait to get her home.
Yeah.
So for those of us who...
She was. Yeah, everybody called her that at work, everywhere. That's your little miracle baby. That's your miracle baby. Yeah.
Aww.
So it's hard to get her here, but it was so worth the trip.
She sounds like a miracle baby.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any plans for your birth? I guess since it was so early, you didn't really plan anything.
I always knew I wanted to go natural if I could. I just wanted to have a natural birth in the mm-hmm. hospital. I never really thought about, you know, a doula or anything like that, because I was worried about, and I think it's the curse of being a nurse, I was worried about what if something happens. I want to make sure there's a team there. Mm-hmm. So I always thought about hospital, just regular natural birth.
Annabelle, you ready to share your birth story?
I would love to. My doctor was a perinatologist from the get-go. I didn't have an OB because it had been 20 years since I was pregnant. So my family doctor just referred me sort of in a textbook way directly to the perinatologist, and I saw him through the whole pregnancy. So my first child, Lamaze and natural childbirth was the thing. So I definitely did it that way and had only Demerol and an IV for pain relief, and it hurt. And so I didn't want to have the epidural either. I was afraid of that, but I talked myself into it. So they came in and started it, and I felt this big rush of relief from the pain. And then the pain came right back, and they said, uh-oh. And I had had a small surgery on my spine. It was a little tumor when I was a child. And they said the only thing they could figure is there might have been scar tissue that was blocking the medicine. But anyways, I ended up having natural childbirth the second time. I had a 15-hour labor. It was horrible. It hurt. And I remember the nurses will tell you, push, push. You know, they're very emphatic about it. And I remember screaming no back at them, like, if I push, it's going to hurt even worse. And so they really kind of cajoled me. And finally, I pushed, and he was born right then. But my only big issue for the delivery was having to have a magnesium sulfate IV because of the blood pressure and possible toxemia or preeclampsia. My best friend was an RN, so I had my nurse get on the phone with her. She was in Denver.
Yeah, I bet.
And the nurses talked to each other, and she told her every little thing that was going on, and I was so reassured by that. But my friend Peggy, the nurse, said she didn't sleep at all that night. And he was born at 5 in the morning, so it was a long night.
Annabelle, I can't remember when I had my daughter. I had a nurse, like this poor girl, she was straight out of nursing school. And she was trying to be so careful Whoa. With everything. And she was trying to kind of console me the way you were describing. And she kept saying, she was holding my hand. She was saying, bear down, bear down. I said, what does that even mean? And she was like, I don't know. I don't know. And she like ran out of the room. I felt so.
I don't know. That's great.
Sweet, but again, like she could have been my daughter. So it's just the relationship. It's not like a peer-to-peer relationship. She couldn't take control of the room the way a nurse kind of needs to, you know? And so she was really, really sweet.
That's
really
funny.
Sweet. But she had to poke me like 3 times for the IV. But
oh, I'm so glad. My nurses were all semi-middle-aged, and I'm glad about that now.
Yeah, I had a great nurse for my first one. She ran the room. Even when the doctor came in, she ran the room, and she was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one with my daughter, I know she's a good nurse. She just was so new.
Oh. You know, I didn't get my actual doctor for the delivery. Did that happen to y'all? I got whoever was on call, and it was a woman, and she was great. Dr. Pappas, her name was.
Yeah, I got the on-call doc for my daughter, but I had my OB for my boys.
Yeah, I had my OB, too.
Because
it was planned. It was a planned emergency C-section.
Right, right.
And Donna, how was your recovery?
Right. Oh, wow. That was interesting as well and long. So because I never even thought about a C-section, I thought I'd be going back to work a lot sooner. So I actually had taken out some, fortunately, some short-term disability insurance, and I was out from, I think when I did my test, it was the end of February, and she was supposed to be born on tax day, April 15th. So I was out from February. I did not go back to work until July.
Wow.
So that C-section, oh my goodness. Like,
wow.
No one ever warned me.
No, well, they don't tell you it's so surgery. Great. Like,
oh,
they are.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I felt like someone sliced me in half. And
they did.
It was just so hard to move. They really
did.
It was horrible. So it was hard to sleep. I slept with the body pillow on one side, the other pillow on the other side. So my poor husband, I don't know, he probably got like a quarter of the bed, something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't do much for a long time. I didn't drive, I think, for 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
Because I couldn't move. And we were actually staying at his grandmother's house because we were having major construction done in the house before she came home from the hospital. Yeah, I had to do stairs. I had to do 3 flights of stairs every day, those first 21 days she's in the hospital. Where I was staying, I was just so uncomfortable all the time. So between the uncomfortability and trying to nurse, it made my recovery very difficult. Mm-hmm. I don't think I felt like myself again, probably for another 3, maybe 4 months.
Wow.
After she was born. Yeah, so that part was rough.
And how was breastfeeding?
It was very hard for me. I didn't produce a lot. And because she was preemie, she had challenges with her sucking reflex. So it was hard for her to suck. It's hard to suck. And then I can't produce. So then I tried the pumping and that was even worse. So it was a rough experience. I didn't do it past 6 months. And I really wanted to do it for a year. Mm. But I just had to put her on preemie formula. I think she was taking the Similac NeoSure because she couldn't handle the regular formula yet.
Mm-hmm. And mentally, how was your recovery?
Not good. I'm pretty sure I had postpartum depression. And the reason I say pretty sure, I know that every time I went for my visits and you'd fill out the screening and they'd ask you, did you feel sad? Did you feel this? And I did. But I had this fear that if I told them yes, they might think I couldn't handle my baby and I had this thing in my head that they're going to take the baby from you. So I kept checking off no. Mm. And looking back, you know, what I would tell my younger self is you should have asked for help. I should have said, I need to talk to somebody because I was so used to being so organized. You know, everything in my life was always on point. And all of a sudden I had this kid at 42 and I'm moving on in my career and I was overwhelmed and felt like I couldn't fit her in and I didn't get help. So I just smiled through a lot of it, and I wish that I didn't.
Yeah.
So it's grown me into a person now that I know that asking for help is healthy, it's good, it's necessary, and it shortens the time that you're going through something. Mm. So I made it longer than it had to be because I faked it.
Yeah.
And I told my doctor, I'm fine. No, I'm okay. And I wasn't at all.
Yeah, that's such good advice, Donna.
Yeah.
Annabelle, how was your recovery?
Well, there were aspects that were unpleasant. I had sleep deprivation, it turned out. I was much more tired, probably or definitely because of the age. Although later they told me, when you've got the blood pressure business going on, regardless of what they want to call it, it takes a lot longer to recover, for your body to actually recover. But I was so tired. And my husband finally started a plan where I could pump and he would do the midnight feeding and I would go on and go to sleep early. Then I'd get up at 3 and the baby woke up every day at 3. So that was when I had to get up and I just really didn't get enough sleep really. So we ended up breastfeeding just for maybe 6 or 8 weeks, and I got mastitis. And apparently, you can't keep nursing with the antibiotics you have to take. So they told me I could pump and just throw away the milk and try to keep it going for, I think it was 10 or 12 days to take the antibiotic. And I started trying that, but I just didn't have the patience for it. So he was a bottle baby, and he did fine.
Great. And Caroline, how was your recovery?
Recovery was fine with my daughter. It was a lot harder with my son just a year later, which I think would be expected. I didn't really let my body heal from the first one before I threw it right back into pregnancy again. So that was a little bit of a struggle. And just, you know, like Donna and Annabelle said, it's chaotic. It's tiring. No one can prepare you for it. You know, everyone sets up their nurseries and they have all this, you know, perfect Instagram picture of what they think it's going to be like when they bring baby home. And then it's a bottle that's rolled under the crib and it's a dirty diaper left on the floor and it's laundry that needs to be done. It's chaotic. And you have to decide when to sleep because it's really hard. They always tell you to sleep when the baby sleeps. And that's really hard because you're like, okay, well, when are the bottles going to get washed? And when is the laundry going to get cleaned? And when is the, you know. Mm-hmm. But
that's precisely what it's like. Exactly.
Yeah, it's chaos. And you just have to, just sort of fall into the chaos. You know, you manage. Take care of your baby, make sure your baby's safe, make sure your baby's fed, make sure your baby's clean. Let the world be chaotic around you because you'll lose your mind if you try to control all of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true. It's like, I wish what someone would tell you when you first have a baby is that part of your life is about getting back to basics. And that's it.
Yes.
Right.
It's a great way to put it.
And that's okay. You know, there's, like you said, there's no way to fix that chaos. I mean, the only way to change any of that is to get a lot of support. And that's not everybody's picture.
Exactly.
Like with me, my parents lived in Florida, so they were 1,000 miles away. So I didn't have that life of, oh, I'm going to take the baby over to mommy, you know, because she was 1,000 miles away and she's still working back then.
Right.
So you just have to accept that about yourself. That's what I would share with any new mom, accept the fact that your life is going to go back to basics, but that's okay.
And for me, it also was a lesson for me when my kids start having kids. I'm not going to go over there and say, oh, let me hold the baby and then you can just sit and talk with me. You know, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to clean their house. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do their laundry. I'm going to clean the bottles. Right. And then I'm going to say, you go to bed. I'll feed the baby. I'll, you know, it's just, it's, mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Help, what people think is help is not always help. Mm-hmm. I had to put my phone on airplane mode because everyone kept calling me to check on the baby. And I was like, he just woke me up. Like, I just fell asleep 10 minutes ago after being up all night. You just woke me up again. So I would turn your phone off and just, yeah, that I think is the hardest thing is dealing with just the exhaustion and understanding that life with a newborn baby does not look like an Instagram post.
Mm-hmm. How was breastfeeding for you?
My kiddos were all bottle fed.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we had some, yeah, it didn't work out for me, which was sad, but.
And mentally, how was your recovery?
I think mentally it was really good with my daughter. We were just so excited, you know, to have another baby after 11 years. And it was a lot harder with my youngest son to have a newborn, a 12-month-old, a teenager at that point, you know, uh-huh. or preteen. And so it was just, it was a lot. It was the most tired I've ever been in my, there are actually things that I can't remember from that time because I was just so tired. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ezra will say, well, how can you not remember? And so, well, I don't know.
I swear, I hallucinated. I was so tired. And that's when my doctor said, this is definitely sleep deprivation. Get somebody in there or you go somewhere to sleep.
Annabelle, what was your biggest challenge being pregnant in your 40s versus in your 20s?
Gosh. Well, probably just the overall, you know, you're just older and all the things that go with aging do not help you when you're trying to have a baby, I think. And then I hate to keep talking about gaining weight, but man, if you're already older, you're already, your joints kind of hurt and you're real heavy, you're just kind of asking for sitting around all the time and not really getting to do everything you want to do. So that was the worst thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd recommend that would help prepare someone for pregnancy?
Yes. I think you have to read all the books. I think that's a really good idea, especially if it's your first baby. And have a good doctor. Poor Donna. I mean, that really wasn't fair at all. But try to pick a doctor whose bedside manner is maybe even better than some kind of technical proficiency. I mean, you just have to be able to talk to them, and you have to have them talk back and try to understand mm-hmm. you.
And what advice would you give yourself when you were pregnant if you could go back?
To really watch my diet, mm-hmm. of course, that, you know, I'm going to say that because that was dramatic. All that aside, and feeling so heavy and immobile and all that, I had the best time. I was giddy about having another baby. I couldn't believe it. I went to every baby store between Fort Worth and Dallas every time I had to go to work. They knew me by my first name. They knew how old I was. It was like a badge of honor.
Love it.
But it was wonderful. And then when I got my amniocentesis results that said he was perfectly normal, then it was even more, there was even more euphoria. I mean, I just knew it was going to work out. And I really knew my own limitations. And I was terrified that something would be wrong with him, that I felt I could not take care of him myself. So that was a very heavy moment and decision I, thank goodness, did not have to make.
Sure. Caroline, what about you? What was your biggest challenge being pregnant in your 40s?
I would agree with Annabelle. The weight gain was shocking. It changes everything. Just not being able to move around the same. And I was doing just fine until I had the placental tear with my daughter. And I was actually, probably was a little bit of a saving grace. I was in better shape, the best shape of my life, when I got pregnant with my daughter. Even better than when I was when I had my son in my 20s. But then when I was bedridden for 20 weeks, and then you're recovering from having a baby for 12 weeks, mm-hmm. and then you're pregnant again, by the end of it, my third pregnancy, I was in bad shape. And I'm still not doing so great, but the weight gain was shocking. Yeah, I would say that was my biggest challenge.
And yours was sort of circumstantial, maybe even more than being older, like you were saying, having
possibly. But I just don't think I don't think I would have gained as much, maybe, had I not been as old as I was. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I do think some of it was circumstantial, but between the two, from when I first got pregnant with my daughter to the end of my pregnancy with my son, I gained 80 pounds. So it was shocking.
Yeah.
Anything you'd recommend that you would help prepare someone for pregnancy and birth?
Get your body in shape, get your diet in order, and stay that way.
Is it going to be the same thing? What advice would you give yourself when you were pregnant if you could go back?
When I was pregnant, I would advise myself to not worry about the weight so much. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but you spend so much time obsessing about this weight that you're gaining that it's not going to change. Like, you just have to wrap your mind around it. It's part of the process for some women. And you miss a lot of really great moments mm-hmm. being pregnant because you're worried about your waddle. You know, mm-hmm. so, and I loved being pregnant too. I really enjoyed it. Don't worry about the weight gain. You look better than you realize, you know.
If I had it to do over again, I would eat about half of what I was craving instead of all of it.
Yeah. If you can stay away from the sugars and the simple carbs, you'll do just fine. But you need carbs though. So like, don't go keto when you're pregnant. Your baby's brain isn't going to develop. It's not a good thing.
Oh my gosh.
So Donna, what was your biggest challenge being pregnant in your 40s?
For me, it was a lot of mental stuff for me, because there were just moments where I would sit there and think, okay, if I'm 42, when she's 20, I'll be 62. And then I was doing that, you know, the what syndromes and driving myself crazy. And then I just have to stop and just realize that, you know, no matter what you do in life, you're going to be the age you're going to be anyway. And so mm-hmm. I just began to think about the fact that, you know, I still have friends now that are in their 50s and they have never been able to conceive. Mm-hmm. So it's such a wonderful privilege, you know, when you're able to. So that once mm-hmm. I just kind of retrain my brain, I enjoyed it. I had fun. And it was, you know, people do more things for you. Like I had friends bring me over. Oh, I was out, so I just got you a little beef patty. Oh, I know you like velvet cupcakes. I just brought you one. And it was so funny. I had a girlfriend that did that every Saturday when she took her daughter to dance. She brought me a special little treat. Soon as my baby was born, she didn't come anymore.
Wait, come back. Come back.
Yeah. Hey, what happened to my baby? She
said, what happened to my cupcake, pregnant man? Anymore.
So I enjoyed it once I allowed myself to just, you know, just be in the moment.
But Donna, right, Donna, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Donna, is there anything you'd recommend that would help prepare someone for pregnancy and birth?
Yes. If you're really thinking about, you know, I think I want to have a baby in the next year or two, start paying better attention to your diet. Mm-hmm. I ate a lot of fast food all the time. And mm-hmm. Doctor really said to me, you're going to have to stop that. And I need you to really stick to your prenatals and all that. So I wish that I had, you know, just paid more attention to eating better and taking care of myself. So I never really did enough of that self-care. I just kind of trucked through life and work and everything. And then all of a sudden now I'm pregnant and I have to think about, oh, you know, I have to eat properly and the balanced diet. And so it's better if you start that journey, even if it's 6 months ahead of time, to really start doing that. And if you can incorporate some exercise, and I'm not talking about, you know, trying to rearrange your life and going to the gym 5 days a week. Literally, if you can do something 10 minutes a day, if it's just walking around the block,
it makes sense. Yeah, I just walked. That's all I did. Yeah, you're right. That's it. I am not, I'm a lot like you, Donna. You said you were, you had a low pain tolerance. I don't want to hurt. And when I see runners running down the street, they look pained. Like I'm not running anywhere. So I walked everywhere, and I only used my body weight to do push-ups, mm-hmm. sit-ups, things like that, planks. And I was mm-hmm. in great shape when I got pregnant with my daughter, which I think was – I don't even want to think about what it would have been had I not.
Well, are you back to your normal self, your good fitness self? Because you look fine.
No. Well, it's just because you can see me from like the shoulders up. No, kids consume your life. And yep. This is not my season for self-care. But I, you know, in the interest of making sure that I'm my best self for them, I do need to change that.
Donna, what advice would you give yourself when you were pregnant if you could go back?
I would tell myself to just enjoy the process. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat anything. Just enjoy it, because you know what? 10 months, if you make it that far, it doesn't last long. Mm-hmm. So while you're there, just enjoy every moment of it and just realize that, you know, you're birthing a life. This is going to be amazing. It may not be easy, but just enjoy it mm-hmm. because you're here and it's a great privilege.
Yeah, I am so looking forward to being pregnant and having a belly and waddling everywhere. I can't wait.
It's wonderful. I mean, really how you feel, like I was saying, you're giddy and euphoric and stuff. You are, Jamie. I mean, things are just so rosy for the most part, you know, and everything you think of for the future is just perfect and excellent and, you know, until something goes wrong or unless something goes wrong.
It's almost like everything else in your life, the volume gets turned down on everything and it's just you and your baby. Mm-hmm. Not to sound narcissistic, like, because everything you're doing is for your baby. Like mm-hmm. Donna said, if you get your, you know, get your diet and straightened out. And Annabelle said she immediately stopped smoking when she found out she was pregnant. It's so funny. The discipline that we have the minute we find out we're pregnant, because we're not doing it for ourselves anymore. We're doing it for our babies. Mm-hmm. And so all the little things, all the noise in your life just gets turned down and you just get to hyper-focus on creating this perfect environment for your baby.
Yeah. All other priorities stop.
Right. Yeah.
I think we're going to get to the Instagram section. So on Instagram, we had everyone give us questions for you ladies, because it's a very special episode that we're recording. Ladies, say hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm the disembodied voice. Hello.
So we are going to get everyone's questions answered, and I'm going to get back to recording. Okay, so we had 8 questions. This is like lightning round.
Okay.
Okay.
First question, patiently waiting, 8 says, I guess who should we start off with? Caroline.
Okay.
How, she is asking, how long did it take to get pregnant with take-home baby? Any special protocols? I'm guessing she's asking about the hospital.
So how long did I get until I went home?
Mm-hmm.
I went home the next day after having my daughter. Yeah. So I was in the hospital for just slightly over 24 hours. And then with my son, I wanted to stay as long as I could. So they had to kick me out after 2 days.
You got evicted.
Yeah. They were like, it's time. Your insurance says no more. Your health will go.
Donna, what about you?
So I was just trying to confront my hubby, and he's looking at me like, I don't know. But I think it was 3 days because she had to stay for the 3 weeks. But
and you had surgery.
Me stay for a couple of days because I had the C-section and I had to get up walking and all that. So I want to say 3 days before I went home.
Okay. And about how long were you at the hospital?
24 hours before we went home.
Was there any special protocols from the hospital?
I had a special marking on my band that indicated I think I had a second band indicating I was a Jerry patient. I was branded.
Wow.
Not for me.
I don't believe I had any either. Only if I had excessive pain to let them know.
Okay. Our next question is Janet AL22. She asks, what steps did you take before getting pregnant? Donna, I think we'll start with you.
The steps I took, I guess after I found out I was pregnant, I did try to eat a little better. Definitely stuck to, taking my vitamins. And I actually was able to incorporate walking in the job I had because I was a visiting nurse. So I did about a 1 mile radius anyway. So I got to walk more. So focusing on things like that.
Well, I guess you were the only one that was actually planned.
Yeah, because even though it was a journey to get there, that was the end result. That's what we wanted. So, working towards that, once I found out, let me start making shifts. And we started thinking about, physical things like which room are we going to use for the baby and things like that, and planning those things out. But the most important prep was for me. And taking care of myself so I could be strong enough and ready and, could do the mommy thing.
Caroline, what about you?
Well, I always take prenatal vitamins because we do not use any forms of birth control. And so I just always feel like I should always be on them. So instead of a multivitamin, I just always take prenatals. That's it, really.
Oh, do you take a prenatal vitamin with iron?
I don't think so.
I am looking for a prenatal vitamin without iron.
Have you looked? There's a company called Seeking Health, and they make really good vitamins, and it's even better. They tell you that they want you to have folic acid, and it's actually not the beneficial one. It's actually folate that you need. So the whole company is very good about outlining what the vitamins are, what you need to be looking for, and who should be on them, and what. So I would check out seekinghealth.com.
Okay. Got it. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Annabelle, do you want to answer that one?
Well, a big fat zero because I wasn't going to get pregnant at all. But I think you, Jamie, I think you should be taking prenatal vitamins now.
I should. Definitely. No question about that. Okay. Candace asks, being pregnant at 40, 23 years ago, must have been super taboo. How did you deal with it? And I think this question is for you, Annabelle.
Yes, I think it is. I could not believe that people would come up to me and say, was it natural or what did you do? And I was like, it was completely natural and unplanned, but people were so asking personal questions. That surprised me a lot.
People are shockingly rude when you're pregnant. It's very surprising. And although I'll grant you, it is surprising to see a pregnant woman carrying a 10-month-old on her hip. I get that. But asking me, well, do you know what causes that? Or how many do you want? I'm like, I want them all. I want all the babies. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, just, yeah, it's I finally stopped getting the do you know what causes that when I said, will you draw me a picture? Because I'm not sure. And they were like, oh, like it's just people are shockingly rude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Our next question, I think it's Norita. I'm not sure. Her question is, were you actively trying or had you given up and it just happened? Donna?
So, we were still actively trying, but mm-hmm. in my head, I was like, I don't know.
Not going to happen.
Every test keeps coming back negative. So it was the shocker. But we were definitely still trying to have a child.
Mm-hmm. Caroline?
No, I had put it out of my mind. And since our oldest was 11 at that point, he was getting a little more independent. And so I decided to go back to school. So I was preparing to go back to school. So no, I had finally decided, no, I'm done. It's not going to happen. It's time to think about plan B.
Mm-hmm.
But
Annabelle, what about you?
I think I was more focused on what menopause was going to be like. Doesn't that sound silly? But I was starting to have just a barely little symptoms of maybe this is a change. So I was certain I was not fertile. And then too late, they tell me, it's not uncommon to have a fertility spike during menopause or at some point during menopause, and all women are different. Isn't that something? I wish they'd told me that before.
Yeah, wow. I've never heard of that.
True. I have, but you know, something else that I hadn't heard of is when you're over 40, your your chance of multiples goes up, having more than one baby at a time.
Oh, so, my gosh.
I have heard that, and I've been praying for that ever since. I'm like, if we could just have two, that would be amazing.
Then twins, it would be done. And if it could be a boy and a girl, you'd be done.
Okay. So, Donna, let's see. We'll start with you this time. Shapes and Colors RVA asks, were they first pregnancies? Did you have to advocate harder for certain things because of your age?
I think I had to push more for support. They did all of the right things because I was considered high risk, but I felt like I had to advocate just to have the pregnancy because mm-hmm. of what I went through, the dynamic with my OB. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't treated in a way that I shouldn't have been. I think they were even more careful with me, which I appreciated. So I wouldn't say that I felt like I didn't get what I needed. I did. I just didn't. It was almost like being on a team and your coach isn't on your side. Mm-hmm. And that's what like with the doctor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had all the players around me, the nurses, everyone else was there, but he was just kind of like, you want to do this? And so that kind of put a damper over it.
Yeah, that must have been really hard.
Yeah, it was.
Caroline, what about you?
Okay, so yeah, there were actually pregnancies 3 and 4. We did have one miscarriage.
Okay. So, I'm sorry.
But no, that's okay. So there's that. But no, not first pregnancies. And no, I felt very much like Donna. I felt that there was a great deal of care. And just a very careful care, if you will, mm-hmm. probably because of my age. Mm-hmm. But no, I did not feel like I had to advocate for anything. I felt heard. So mm-hmm.
good. Annabelle, what about you?
I felt heard as well. That's a really good way of putting it. My professional support people were just incredible. I mean, I felt no different from any other pregnant person, maybe because they just subliminally were prepared for, you know, anything that might occur to me or that I might wonder about. Unbelievable. Oh, and my family doctor would call and check on me, even though I stopped going to him since I was going to an OB. And everyone was just really sort of celebrating in a way, you know, that it had happened to me.
Okay, our next question. I think, Caroline, you're up on deck for this first question.
Okay.
How did other people in your family perceive their pregnancies? This question is from Josh Brandy Lindsay.
So everyone was actually really excited for us, except my younger sibling. She was a little bit jealous. Oh, no. She wanted to have the baby grandchildren in our family, and it didn't work out that way. So she had a hard time with it, surprisingly. That dynamic was very interesting because I have four sisters, so there's five of us, and everybody was over the moon. And then when they found out I was having a daughter, they were even more celebratory. But yeah, just I had there was some trouble with a younger sibling, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you're supposed to be done. Sit down. It was like, I didn't know.
Annabelle, what about you?
I think the people who really loved me, and you know, that's not always true in families, but the ones who did were so supportive and good. There was a little residual issue because my husband was so much younger than me. And I think people wanted to tease me about that and that sort of thing. That's the only thing that comes to mind. But overall, my mother, who could be a harsh person and critical, was so supportive, I couldn't even believe it. And that was like icing on the cake, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet. Donna?
They were overjoyed for me, especially mm-hmm. my mom. Like, this was going to be her first grand in 18 years. So, oh my goodness. She was like, forget it. And she was going to be the first great grandchild. So, everybody was over the moon.
Oh, cool.
No resistance.
That's great. The next question from KMD828 says, did you feel alone? Now, when I was pregnant the first two times, I don't know if you call pregnancy, if you have an ectopic pregnancy, but I actually did feel alone. And so I would answer that, yes, very much so. Annabelle, how did you feel? Did you feel alone?
No, I did not, because as a person, I think I have a lot of friends, and they're especially wonderful friends. And so I always had someone to talk to if I was worrying or if I was giddy or if I had a question, a medical question or something. I always had someone to ask. So no, I didn't feel alone.
Caroline, what about you?
I did not feel alone during my pregnancies, but I will tell you that the miscarriage, I felt very alone. People treat you like you didn't lose the baby. It's very, very bizarre. You're just supposed to be okay. You were pregnant 1 minute and then you're not, and you're just supposed to be okay. Mm-hmm. And so that was really hard after the effect. After the miscarriage, but during the pregnancies of my last two, no, I did not feel alone at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was almost overwhelming, the amount of attention.
And maybe that is the alone that I felt was with the miscarriages, because we have this stigma that we're not supposed to talk about it, but it helped me so much to talk about it. And then people felt sorry for me. And I'm like, no, we're just talking. It's fine.
Well, with miscarriages, ectopic pregnancies, what have you, you know, there's not a closure that people get when they lose a baby they've actually held in their arms, right? There's a memorial or a funeral or something. There isn't that closure that you've lost. You feel a sense of loss and you don't know what to do with that loss. And you're right. People feel awkward talking to you about it. And as a group, women, we maybe need to try to figure out how to do that better, how to be there for people who have had miscarriages a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And it's grief. No one knows how to handle grief. No one knows what to say.
And that, no one that, under- No, that's a great point, is everybody grieves differently too. That's an excellent point. So,
and,
you know.
Yeah. And it's profound, and it's almost, I think people just get out of their heads all the time with any kind of grief. It's just really hard.
Yeah.
I had just a couple of people ask me about it, and one was my stepmom, and I just started bawling, and I embarrassed her because I started crying.
Oh no.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was strange.
Because you were crying after your miscarriage.
Mm-hmm. She asked me, she's like, so how are you feeling? And I'm like, and I just started crying. And she was embarrassed. She was like looking around. We were in a restaurant, but I did embarrass her.
You poor thing. You're being emotionally open and vulnerable.
It was definitely a feeling of being alone, and you've got to just kind of figure it out. I actually did have a really good primary care physician who, when I went to her for follow-up, she told me, don't ever let anyone tell you how you're supposed to feel about this.
I love that.
And so she was the only one that acknowledged that there was a loss.
Wow.
I love that. You know, even with my, we did IVF and it didn't work. And it's like, it wasn't a miscarriage, but it kind of was. It kind of was a loss in the same way.
Definitely.
I was just going to share with Jamie that I actually worked with someone who did IVF and it didn't work 10 times.
Oh my gosh.
On the 11th time, she had her first very beautiful son.
Wow.
And then later she did it again and she has a little girl.
Oh my gosh.
So I can't imagine, just listening to your stories, you know, to go through loss multiple times and not have the support as we would if there was a funeral, you know,
for mm-hmm.
a
kid. That story makes me cry.
I mean, I lost my mom a year and a half ago, and it still is like a surreal thing. But people at least acknowledge it because they know she's no longer present here. And so to think that somebody's loss isn't real just because you never saw the person.
Right.
You know. Donna, I think you're the last one to answer this question. Did you feel alone?
Yes, because I was literally the only woman like in my circle that was pregnant at that time. So even though I had friends and family that were happy, you know, at the same time I'm looking at you and you have like a 13-year-old and you have an 18-year-old and you have a 10-year-old, I'm going, oh God, am I crazy? What am I doing right now?
Donna, that's a good point. I actually did forget alone. About that. Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot that I had I put myself where I didn't have any peers. Right. So
right.
I was sitting next to, you know, 26-year-olds with no life experience, fresh off the college commencement stage. And it was very different. I did forget about that. I don't think it made me feel alone necessarily, but I did forget about that. I was sort of in this weird area where I didn't have any peers, but we should have been peers because our kids are growing up together.
I was just talking to another friend of mine who also had a baby at 42. And today, actually, her daughter is now 3. And she was making some noise in church. And she was like so embarrassed. And I'm like, I used to be the same way. Like, I would sit and think, oh, please don't cry, please don't cry, please don't cry. Because everyone else's kids were big. And, you know, they could sit perfectly. And she'd go, and I'd go, no. You know, you start feeling alone and different. So that's where I felt alone.
For our last question, it's from Lauren Ingute. I totally butchered that. I'm sorry, Lauren. Lauren's question is, if you have more than one child, how was your over 40 pregnancy different than earlier ones? And I think this question is for Caroline and Annabelle. Annabelle, you want to start that one off?
Yes, I was thinking it was very different, except that it was so normal. I mean, aspects of it were very normal, but it's like everything we've talked about, what Caroline said about your friends aren't pregnant because they're 45 years old and that sort of thing. That was different. And I didn't feel good when I got so heavy. That made it really different for me.
Caroline, what about you?
Honestly, I think I was a little bit more on the moment when I was over 40. And I had the experience of a pregnancy already. So everything was so new with my first one, right? Every movement, everything. And I think I also just learned to trust my instinct and what I was feeling in my body a little bit better in my 40s than I did in my 20s.
I think that's all the questions. Does anybody else have anything they want to add?
This is so much fun. Let's do it tomorrow.
Well, I think Donna is the only one that has a social media link. Donna, would you like to share that?
So I'm actually on Instagram and on LinkedIn at D as in Donna, Nadine Bailey.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies, for your time and for sharing your story. It was so fun.
Well, it was fun. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, it was
you're a good host.
And that wraps up our special episode with Caroline, Donna, and Annabelle. I love that all three women were surprised by their pregnancies. That was a fun coincidence. On next week's show, we have Desiree, who was pregnant at 40 and 41. She is a fitness instructor and is obsessed with the color purple. She has so much energy and hilarious. I can't wait to share her story. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fabulous week, and I will see you next Monday. Bye.